Our epistle for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. Brethren, I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 through 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of today's epistle and the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, I think it's important for us to make a division between things that we like and dislike and things that we should love. Likes and dislikes are a plethora. People differentiate as there are as many people in a room. Some people like this, some people don't like it. But there are things that perhaps we do like but we can't love. And there are other things that we don't like, but we must love. Here we are talking about God's will. There are many things that we want to do, but we should not do. Just because you want to do something or you like to do something doesn't necessarily mean that you love it. It's an imperfect want, an imperfect liking. And this is where control of self and seeking something greater than a whim and a want. Christ talks about love when he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If means it's a choice. We must choose to love God's will. We recognize something as God's will and we love it because it's his will. Regardless of likes and dislikes. We live in a day and age where so many people are caught up with likes and dislikes. I don't like this and I don't like that. It doesn't matter. Every good parent knows that there is a love for their child that goes beyond a like and dislike, especially when they have to correct that child. Call it a tough love. You must say no to your child when your child wants something and they shouldn't have it. You must reprimand, discipline your child when they step out of line in order that they learn. But every good parent does so, not out of anger or frustration, but out of love, because they love their child, and they want their child to succeed in life, to do what they need to do, not just what they like to do. Christ expresses this to us, his followers, when he says, "If you want to be my disciples," if choice, it's our choice, "deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me." You tell me how many of those are likable. Deny ourselves, that means we have to say no to ourselves. No to our likes and whims and wants. Take up our cross. That's a burden. Bear our cross. If you ever have made the stations of the cross, you take a look and you tell me which station looks the most likable. Which one did Christ like? Did he like being condemned unjustly to death? Did he like when the cross was placed on his shoulders? Did he like falling under the weight of the cross? Did he like seeing his mother on the road to Calvary? Did he like being nailed to the cross? Did he like dying on the cross? No, but he loved it because he loved us. Now we have to love dying to ourselves because we love him. Not just because you say, Lord, Lord, will you enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven. This little book here, My Way of Life, if it can't be purchased in the bookstore today, it can be ordered. But this is a simplified version of that great book of St. Thomas Aquinas, the Summa Theologica, which great minds have taken years and years and still study it. But in this book, he talks about God's will. This present life, he writes, is a time of trial. We are being tested. If we live well, if we live according to God's will, or the will of God, our human acts will merit for us the reward of the vision of God. But the fact is that we face the possibilities of successes and failures, of triumphs or defeat. In either case, the outcome of the trial is determined by our own free choice. We choose God and happiness, or we can reject God and choose unhappiness. The point to remember is that we can make the choice only in this present life. After death, we cannot change our minds. As we die, so shall we live after death. If we die seeking God, we shall find God. If we die rejecting God, then we shall lose God for all eternity. After death, each man faces his own particular judgment, as St. Paul has said. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And what's the judgment about? One question will be asked, did you love me? And if we say yes, then he will say, let's see. The will of God can be identified by another word that you hear thrown out there, the word vocation. Vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, meaning to call. Usually, it is in reference to God's calling on an individual. There are basic three vocations that we all have. We have the vocation of life, the vocations of a state of life, and the vocations that is daily, or the calling that's daily. The vocation of life is one where I give answer to good students who are coming to the end of their academic career, and they ask me, Father, what's my vocation? And I tell them, I don't know your state of life vocation. Well, I might have an inclination, but I don't know. But I do know your daily vocation, I do know your life vocation. And eagerly they say, what are they, Father? Well, your daily vocation is to do God's will, and your vocation of life is to become a saint. The state of life, well, there are basically three: religious, married, and then single life. Sometimes some people have a vocation to be in the single life for a while, and then they get married or they become a religious. Some people are married and then they become a religious. Or some people are married and then they have to live the single life. So that can change, depending on the circumstances. But the vocation of life never changes. We are called by God to sanctification. That's what St. Paul tells us. We are called by God to be saints. And he has given us a means to be saints. We must choose to use those means. And nobody can choose for us but us. Our daily vocation to do God's will today. Those circumstances, well, first and foremost, our daily duty. What I must do today as parents, to be good parents and look out for our children and make sure that we're keeping them from harm spiritually, especially spiritually, but physical harm, provide for our family, etc. We have those other daily vocations or callings of God where we see somebody in need. We can do an act of charity. We have the vocation of God daily to give a sermon by our example. Will all men know that you are my disciples, Christ tells us, by the love that you have one for another. This is our daily vocation. God calls us to this, as he calls us all to become saints. Now for us, it is important to make sure that we address it properly. We don't blind it by women wanton selfishness. No, we sacrifice selfishness, and we want God's will. And we determine in our heart of hearts to love God's will and to love it enough to persevere in striving to do it to the best of our ability, not for ourselves or for others, but for the love of God. It's not a feeling. It's a decision of the higher faculties. In doing so, my dear friends, as St. Paul tells us, set free from sin and become slaves to God. That's what he's talking about there. Abandoning ourselves to God's will. As Christ, in his public life, in his example, taught us, I have not come to do my will, but I have come to do the will of him who sent me. Father, if it's possible, let this chalice pass from me. He didn't like it, but he loved his Father, so he followed it up. But not my will, but thine be done. You have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is our hope. That is what we pursue. That is what we can have if we decide to truly and daily want and love God's will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.